Up next, what to wear when you're a handy guy.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
All right, welcome to Handy Guys, episode number... Brian, we're recording here. Would you turn your music down?
All right, hang on a second. Where's the remote?
All right, thanks a lot. Right. This is episode number 26 of the Handy Guys podcast, and we're going to do something a little different in this episode. We're going to take a little detour. We're not going to talk about tools. We're not going to talk about fixing anything. We're going to talk about...
It's kind of a tool.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, but it's about what to wear on the job site, whether that your job site is your basement, your home,
your garden,
right?
Your whatever, working on the car, whatever it is.
The assumption most of us make is just throw on some jeans and a t-shirt, but we have some recommendations for, you know, the full handy guy uniform.
The handy guy uniform, huh? That's pretty grandiose.
Yeah, that's right. But before we get that, let's hand out our contact information.
Okay, you can always call us at 615-676-0877 or visit us on the website, handyguyspodcast.com. Click on the contact tab and fill out the little form and ask your question. Or you can always email us as well.
And as you always say, we will get back to you.
We will get back to
you. Until we get 1,000 a week, we will get back to you.
We'll have an autoresponder for the techies out
right.
there, right?
All right. So we thought it would be fun to talk about some things that, it was something I learned about a year ago. We went down to Mississippi, and I knew I was going to be working in 95-degree heat. It was in the middle of the summer. And I knew it'd be hot, and I thought, you know, it'd be fun to get some new work clothes. And the problem you have, and you don't have to be in Mississippi, but anywhere where it's hot, if you're working in the summer, you can throw on shorts to work in, but they have the downside.
Yeah, they're shorts. And, and you know, if you're on a roof, or if you're doing hard work.
Say goodbye to the knees.
You're going to get cut up, scratched up, beat up. And or sunburned or something.
Even
and,
mowing the lawn, I don't like shorts. I mean, just pushing the mower is okay, but if you get out the weed whacker, then you get the stuff flying around. I can't stand that. I want to have long pants on. But there's a problem. You know, most people, when we go into our closet to get our work clothes, what's the first thing we grab?
We're going to grab a pair of jeans if we want long pants, right?
Yep. And they work great in most situations.
Yeah, they're kind of hot sometimes, and... The problem I have with jeans is I wear them out. I wear through the knees. I've got, I don't know how many pairs of jeans with holes in the knees.
That's a very good point.
I've gotten
in trouble sometime with those new jeans that my wife has purchased for me and oops.
Yeah, you've torn something or whatever. And we kind of made a discovery. It was recommended by... Kurt Moore, we interviewed him on a show about Katrina and rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina, and he had mentioned Carhartt work clothes, and so they're not a sponsor of ours, but we both went and sought these out. And,
right, so we're talking about Carhartt, and we haven't even talked to the company. We're not. This isn't a paid sponsor or anything like that. If they want to sponsor us, you know, we might be willing to talk to them because they make a great product.
That's right. And what was really nice is they have a relatively lighter weight than jeans, work pant.
Right.
And it's what they call a 7.5 ounce cotton work pant. And yet it's durable. Like, I haven't worn through the knees in a year and a half.
It's amazing. I'm wearing them right now, Brian, and these are lightweight. I've worn them on some work projects, many work projects, and I've stained them here and there, gotten some paint on my Carhartts, and one pair, actually, they're so comfortable that I had black something all over them from doing tile work. It was from the knee pads. And I ran them through the wash, and I still had black marks. And I thought, you know what? I like these pants so much. and they're actually nice enough. I can wear them on like casual days at work and stuff. I thought, I'm going to throw them through the wash. I'm going to put all kinds of stain guard and things like that. Or
a little bit of bleach.
Yeah, OxyClean and all that. And sure enough, I got them clean again. And I can wear them without any stains. And, you know, I can wear them out in the town if I really wanted to. But they're still great work pants.
Yeah. I mean, they're just really well constructed. And I just got myself a pair of their shorts.
Right.
And just because I needed a pair of shorts. And I thought I'll patronize that company. And what I like about the shorts, Paul, is all the, you know, the Carhartt work pants, they've got the extra pockets. They've got the hammer loop and the little kind of the lower pockets. And
I love the pockets.
And, you know, I've got one that I always have my cell phone in and my BlackBerry and my this and that. And the shorts have the pockets in the same place.
Right, cool.
So it's great. I'm always reaching to the exact same spot.
Well, you know, what I really like about their pants, now I actually have some of their work pants. I have the heavier cotton. I have the 9.5 ounce, and then I have a 7.5. Now, you don't want to confuse the two. If you take the heavier ones out on a hot, hot day, you will be hot. And so they're great for, you want to make sure you use them in the winter. But the lightweight ones are unbelievable because they're cotton. And cotton, generally speaking, is not the best material. It doesn't always breathe. In certain kinds of fabric, cotton fabrics will not breathe well. But the lightweight cotton Carhartts are great even in the heat. And they hold up, like you said. You know, I don't have holes in the knees.
Yeah, I can't wear them out. Or I haven't yet. I mean, I probably will eventually. But, I mean, not like as fast as I'll wear out jeans. So
right. So it's an awesome material, an awesome product. And you told me that they also have T-shirts. And
they do. I have a couple of their T-shirts, just a regular kind of a heavy-duty cotton T-shirt, and I like it because it's got a little pocket in it. And I just found a moisture-wicking long-sleeve T-shirt, and I haven't worn it yet, but I want to try to wear that in the summer when I'm working in heavy brush or something like that where I want long sleeves, yet want to be cool. So I'm looking forward to wearing that maybe next weekend.
All right, so you want to do some work, you're finishing your basement, whatever it is, around the house. You want to be ready. What else do you need besides?
What's the well-dressed handyman got to be wearing, right?
Well, boots.
That's right.
Maybe, sometimes, I like just to work in sneakers, but,
Sure. It depends what you're doing.
Right. You know what? I'll tell you what, though. I'm the kind of guy that always likes to have shoes on. I know a lot of people want to take their shoes off in the house. I don't know. I like to have shoes on. I like the support for my feet, but regular standard sneakers don't do it for me. I usually like a little bit something heavier, like a Merrell type, like a hiking boot or something like that. Lightweight's fine, but something with a little more support. But there are times where you need something a little heavier. What do we do? Where do you go? What should we look for in work boots?
Right. Well, it's really going to depend what you're doing. I mean, I have two pairs of work boots personally. One pair tends to have a higher, whatever you call that, taller boot.
Right.
And those are Gore-Tex and they're waterproof. So if I'm sloshing around, I'm going to be in mud or whatever. They'll keep my feet dry.
Right.
But then I have another pair of work boots that is kind of a more traditional work boot. It's not a steel toe, but it's kind of a heavier boot, and I don't mind wearing that up on a roof or worry about stepping on a nail because there is a little bit of there's a metal shank under the sole to prevent your feet from stepping on a nail. And if you're doing really heavy work, they have steel toes. So if you drop something really heavy, it's not going to crush your toe.
No, I know a lot of factory floors, environments like that require the steel toes, right? Is that something that the handy guy needs?
I haven't needed it, and I haven't gone that route.
Have you been in the emergency room yet for any toe issues? Broken feet?
Let me think.
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but,
Not that I can, not from a handyman accident.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well. Okay, so you probably don't need a steel toe for most applications. Imagine if you're doing a lot of, masonry work or something like that.
Right.
You might want a steel-toed boot.
Sure.
But otherwise, you probably don't need that. I would think, is there a downside to a steel-toed boot? Are they less comfortable?
No, they're not, actually.
More expensive.
In fact, one of my daughters, my 9-year-old daughter, has steel-toed boots. It's just what they had it at Target, and they
don't mess with her.
Yeah, so she doesn't know the difference. So,
cool. All right, so you got your boots. Then probably, according to Norm Abrams and every other most other thinking people, the most important item is
your safety glasses.
Right.
That's right.
Now, the safety glasses, I'm kind of nearsighted, and I wear glasses. I have them on now, but sometimes I wear contacts, but sometimes I wear glasses. Is a standard pair of glasses that I get from my optician, are they safety glasses, or do I have to get something special?
It depends. You're going to have to ask your optometrist, because right. some of those glasses are shatter resistant and all of that.
Right.
But the newer styles tend to be very small lenses.
Sure.
And so those aren't going to give right. you the kind of protection, even if they are shatter resistant. So ask your optometrist. If you want to have, you know, prescription safety glasses, they can make those up for you.
Sure.
Regular glasses with safety lenses in them. What I do is I wear contact lenses and then regular safety glasses, inexpensive ones, over that when I'm wearing my safety glasses.
That's funny, Brian. I've never seen you wear a pair of safety glasses.
Now, come on now. I do have safety glasses.
All right. So can I get the Norm Abram special if I go to my optometrist? Will he provide those?
I bet you can.
I want to look like him. All right. So that's important, though. So, yeah. You know what, though? I will say what I try to do, because I'm not sure about my standard glasses. Like you said, they're smaller lenses. Even if they were the right material, they're not big enough to really cover my eyes. But if you go to the home center, you'll find a large variety of choices. And what's strange, at least at one home center, is they actually put a few models in one section, like near the paint, but you have to dig through and find near their hardware section. They have like a whole range of safety glasses. They got one brand with the lenses you can put in, different lenses for if you're outside.
Right.
They're like sunglasses and they're clear, and they have other kinds. And what I found is the best way to buy a pair of safety glasses is to go where you can try them on, because some are so uncomfortable that they're not worth a dollar.
And the other thing that bugs me about them is not only fogging up, but sometimes they'll scratch really
yes.
easily.
Yes.
And then yeah. they're worthless.
Most of the ones I've tried will scratch over time if you throw them in your toolbox and that kind of thing. So you want to try to protect them, but you're right. There's some that are so cheap that they scratch, you know, with sawdust practically.
Right.
So go where you can try them on. Insist on trying them on. Why would you go and get your everyday glasses and you always try them on? Why would you buy work glasses that you can't try on? A lot of these places, they're in sealed, you know, containers, and you can't even try them on, and you take them home and they hurt to wear them, so you're
right.
not going to wear them. So I talked, you know, I say, look, you know, a lot of times some of the newer brands, you can try them on, they're available. If not, I talk to the store, I say, look, can I open some of these up, because I need to try them on.
That's right.
Make sure they fit my face.
And there's some really cool stylish styles out there now too in these safety glasses.
Oh, you want to look cool, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
If you're going to get Carhartts, you got to get glasses to match. Right.
right. Maybe Carhartts has glasses too. I don't know. They have boots and other stuff, so why not glasses and
okay.
jackets and all that. So
there you go.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
So, safety glasses, hearing protection, another important item.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll have to be honest with you, Brian. I don't always do what I ought to do in protecting my ears. There's so many tools that we use that operate at a very high decibel level. For instance,
Circular saws.
Circular saw is a good example. Now, when you just power up a circular saw, you hold it in your hand and you run the blade a little bit, it's loud, but it's not terrible. But what you don't realize is when you cut through certain woods, it can create a sound. It gets louder. The engine works harder, and sometimes the way it hits the wood, it creates a unique sound, and you know it can get really loud. So while it may not be hurting your ears at first, it will when you're actually using it.
Yeah, I'm actually more. You know, sometimes I'll forget the safety glasses, as you pointed out there, Paul. Thanks a lot. But I've been trying to be very, very good about the hearing protection, especially with when I mow, when I'm using
right.
the string trimmer or the brush hog.
Do you use hearing protection the walk behind mower?
Yes, I am.
That's a good idea.
And there's different kinds of hearing protection.
Yeah,
so you've
sure.
got little earplugs. I also have a set of custom molded earplugs
wow.
that
yeah.
I got at they were designed for riflemen, shooters, competitive
sure.
shooters, and they actually make them in your ear.
Sure.
They kind of like form this stuff in your ear, and who's the doctors you go to for hearing stuff? What do they call them? I was thinking ophthalmologist, but that's your eye doctor.
ENTs or? ear, nose, throat? No, audiologists?
Audiologists.
There we go.
You can go to an audiologist and actually have those made up.
Sure.
And they're not, you know, they may run you $100 in an audiologist. You can go to a maybe a gun show and get them for $20 or $30, but they work really well. Or you've got the regular earmuffs, and I've been just using regular earmuffs most of the time because they're a little more convenient, and they give you probably the best protection overall. And
what's the foam spray you use to seal cracks and so forth?
What, great stuff, yeah, expanding foam?
Can you just spray that into your ears and create your own little... Don't do it. It's no. A polyurethane type spray. No, I wouldn't recommend that.
But that's kind of like those custom earplugs.
That's
kind of like that.
All right, so that's your ears. Now, you can get the over-ear protection,
right,
which
muffs.
Is... The muffs are better for something that you might be operating that's really loud, piercing, that provides better protection for your outer ear bones, which do transmit sound. So some of your audiologists and hearing experts would recommend, like, for instance, if you're firing a weapon,
right.
For instance, a loud rifle, let's say, they usually recommend something like that. For power tools, I would imagine it's the same thing.
Yeah, I have two pairs for my two kids, and they're right there hanging up on the wall of the shop near the door to the house. And they fit my kids, and they always have them on when they're out there, because I let my kids turn on and off the dust collector or whatever, you know, help dad in the shop, whatever.
So you have a lot of choices. You might as well use it. There's no point in allowing your hearing to go. I feel like an idiot. You know, there's too many times I've stood in front of, loud amplifiers and speakers at concerts, and there's too many times where I've operated machinery where I've been too lazy to grab hearing protection. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Dust mask.
Now, this is an important issue. A dust mask. Okay, what is dust, and why do I need to protect myself from dust? And in what situations do I need a dust mask? And when do I need something more,
more
aggressive?
More than a dust mask.
Yeah.
I don't wear dust masks.
We don't want to x-ray your lungs, then.
No. The dust masks... I'll typically wear a dust mask when I'm dealing with something like, really dusty, to state the obvious.
You're sanding.
Maybe when I'm sanding. Because, quite frankly, the dust doesn't bother me.
Installing fiberglass insulation.
Doesn't bother me.
But you ought to do it, because you can get the fiberglass fibers in your lungs.
Yeah.
And they don't go away. They live there forever.
I don't know about that, Paul.
Yeah, if they're fiberglass, you don't want those, The point is, you should wear a dust mask at any, if you're working in your garage, your basement, you're sanding things, you create this dust that goes in the air, and you don't want it in your lungs. But the dust mask, your typical, basic garden variety dust mask is not applicable in all situations. For instance, if you're going to use a paint sprayer, you're going to be dealing with chemicals, solvents.
Fumes and stuff like that. They have different masks that are rated for fumes. And we've talked about VOCs in the past.
Right.
And there are masks that can protect against that. And there's even respirators that I've seen people use. And so you may, depending on your sensitivity and your concern about airborne particulates and so forth, look into the appropriate type of dust mask for what your project is.
Okay. And lastly, we're talking about, this is really about dress looking right. I don't know that you can ever look cool with a dust mask and with hearing and goggles and all that stuff. But I will say it's better than it used to be. These products, your eye protection, you can get better looking eye protection than you used to. But obviously, safety is more important than looking good. So the last item we have here is, knee pads.
That's right. And if you're doing something like, let's say you're spending all day on your hands and knees grouting and tiling.
Yeah.
That's hard on your knees, and knee pads can really help a lot.
Absolutely.
And so what I found with knee pads is they have some that have like a hard plastic shell. And I find those, I don't like them. I got to kind of work. I get a workout in my legs balancing on those hard plastic shells.
Sure. So you're spending a lot of energy just staying balanced on them.
Staying balanced on them. And I like the ones that the cushion,
right.
They don't have that extra shell on them. It's just the cushion.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, so.
And you know, I know that, you know, I've done a fair amount of tile work, and if you don't have knee pads, you're so sore from that you can't concentrate on your work.
Absolutely.
So it makes a lot of sense to have knee pads. Anything else we need here in, looking good as a handy guy?
I always wear a cap or something like that, you know, if I'm doing something out and about and, to keep the sawdust out of my hair or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. If you're working overhead and you have sawdust coming down, it's nice to have a cap on, anything like that. If you're out in the sun and you're balding like me, you know.
Right. You know, and if you're doing something that requires a hard hat, it's not a typical handy guy thing, and that's going to probably be dictated by the particular job you're working
on. Are there any jobs around the home where you should consider wearing some sort of hard hat or... section like that?
No, if you need a hard hat for something around the home,
you probably shouldn't be doing it.
You probably shouldn't be doing it, right?
All right, well, that's all we have this time on the Handy Guy's outfit. If you want to look for Carhartt clothes, you can check out the Handy Guy's podcast store. And if you want to look good, well, just consult this show and hopefully we can help you out. And otherwise, we'll talk to Brian. Would you turn that down back there? We will talk to you next time on the Handy Guy's podcast. See you then.
Bye.